Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Endurance Technologies Q1 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Axis Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this call is being recorded. With this, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nishit Jalan. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Q1 FY26 post-result conference call of Endurance Technologies. We are pleased to host the management team of Endurance today. We have with us Mr. Anurang Jain, Managing Director, Mr. Massimo Venuti, Director and CEO, Endurance Overseas, Mr. Rajendra Abhange, Director and COO, Mr. Rajagopal Sastry, Group CFO, and Mr. Raj Mundra, Treasurer and Investor Relations. I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Anurang for his opening remarks, post which we can move to the Q&A. Over to you, Mr. Jain.
Thank you. Good morning to all. As we conclude quarter one of FY26, India's economic landscape reflects a steady foundation amid evolving global dynamics. As per latest government estimates, the Indian economy achieved a GDP growth of 6.5% in FY25. CII and S&P have maintained a similar guidance in FY26. Businesses worldwide are facing uncertainties with regard to trade barriers, rare earth magnet supplies, inflation, and end-user demand. Very recently, challenges faced included the pandemic, wars, chip shortages, and energy price hikes. Individual businesses like ours cannot change the course of these events. We instead focus on building strength and diversity in our own business. At present, we serve multiple OEMs across India and Europe. Our products go into ICE and electric vehicles. In India, we are strong in two-wheeler and three-wheeler end use and are focused on growing our presence in the four-wheeler segment, which is already our area of strength in Europe. We are also adding new products to our portfolio. In the automotive sector, as per SIAM, two-wheeler sales reached 5.81 million units in quarter one FY26, down 1.6% year-on-year, with motorcycles at 1.8% degrowth and scooters at 0.8% degrowth. Passenger vehicle sales increased by 0.8% to 1.22 million units, while three-wheeler sales rose 10.4% to 0.26 million units. Endurance, in its standalone financials for quarter one FY26, saw a year-on-year growth of 10.1%. In the European Union, new car sales saw a year-on-year drop of 1.8% in quarter one FY26, while our Endurance Europe total income growth was significantly higher at 28.5%. If we also remove the impact of the Stöferle acquisition, our top line in Europe grew by 0.6%. In quarter one FY26, industry volumes, there was a 15.9% share of battery electric vehicles, 9.2% for plug-in hybrids, and 34.2% for hybrids in Europe. On the strategic growth front, we are pleased to share key updates. As most of you are aware, the Ministry of Road Transport and Highways has proposed new safety requirements mandating 100% use of ABS for greater than 50cc ICE two-wheelers and all two-wheeler EVs greater than 4 kW motor power. This, as of now, is made effective from January 2026. As you're aware, Endurance had embarked upon the ABS journey and had rolled out its first ABS in September 2021. By MNC players, we have installed capacity of 640,000 units, both for single and dual-channel ABS. Our single-channel ABS has been on the road since 2021, and our dual-channel ABS final samples have been sent to Royal Enfield and Bajaj, and we expect SOP to start in the next month. The new safety requirements are expected to increase the ABS requirement in India fivefold. Higher ABS use would also lead to higher disc brake penetration. Endurance is in touch with its OEM customers to meet the OEM's deadlines for higher quantum of ABS requirements. This would involve expanding our ABS setup in Waluj, which process has already started and will complete by March 2026. We are planning setup of a new plant for disc brake assembly, including for master cylinder, caliper, brake disc and brake hoses in Chennai, where we already have a land bank. This plant will cater to the South Indian OEM clients, including TVS, Royal Enfield and Yamaha India, amongst other OEMs. I am pleased to highlight significant progress also at our AURIC Shendra facility. We have successfully commenced shipments to a leading European OEM for pre-SOP builds, completing the journey from customer LOI to facility installation in a record time of 4 months. We have also supplied initial samples for the electric vehicle motor housings for Mahindra's 6E and 9E platform through Valeo within a record 10-week lead time, achieving first-time right parts to support the localization drive. The AURIC Shendra plant is a green building die-casting facility and actively supports our ESG goals with sustainable manufacturing practices. Die-casting press machines ranging from 1,100 ton to 2,500 ton are planned to align with market trends towards higher tonnage and light weighting in electric vehicles and advanced automotive components. The SOP is now planned in quarter four of this financial year. I am pleased to inform you that the SOP at a two-wheeler alloy wheel plant in AURIC Bidkin will start in week four of this month. The plant has an installed capacity of 3.6 million wheels per annum, and bulk of this capacity has been booked with orders from OEM clients. At a battery pack manufacturing facility near Pune, civil work and statutory consents are in place. Machinery has been ordered and will be installed at our plant in early next quarter. We had mentioned that we have received an LOI from a leading two-wheeler OEM for a peak business value of rupees 300 crores per annum. 3D validation and simulations have been completed in quick time. Protos will be submitted in this quarter, which is in line with our planned SOP in January 2026. In quarter one of FY26, we accelerated the purchase of the balance 38.5% stake in Maxwell. We are now 100% owners of this business and have strong plans to make it the cornerstone of our electronics and energy business. With good acceptance of reconfigured models of electric two-wheelers for our key OEM clients, Maxwell has witnessed a healthy uptick in sale of battery management systems. With our R&D and innovation, we have been able to provide optimized products for each of their offerings. Apart from scooters, we also have orders for battery management system usage in motorcycles, three-wheelers, tractors, and have recently secured an order for airport cargo handling electric buggies, where BMS supply will begin in November 2025. The strategic transition also paves the way for future high-voltage platforms for four-wheelers and e-buses. We have won cumulative orders to the extent of rupees 156 crores per annum at Maxwell, which will reach peak in quarter one of FY27. Maxwell is also pursuing leads now of rupees 150 crores per annum. With increased business both in BMS and for future ABS electronic control unit boards, we would need to add capacity at our surface-mounted technology lines in Chhatrapati Sambhaji Nagar. We have recently installed additional end-of-the-line testing lines, and in due course, two new high-speed surface-mounted technology lines will also be set up to cater to this increased demand. Our new generation suspension R&D center at Waluj for 2, 3 and 4-wheeler applications is fully operational since July 25, marking a significant milestone in our innovation journey. This state-of-the-art facility helps us to co-create advanced suspension solutions with OEMs, further solidifying our leadership in two-wheeler and three-wheeler suspensions. Also, the new R&D center's four-wheeler testing and validation capabilities, along with our expanded R&D team and a four-wheeler suspension technical assistance agreement with a leading Korean entity, will enable us to enter and grow in the four-wheeler suspension market. We are actively pursuing new business prospects with multiple OEMs. Endurance is by far the market leader for inverted front forks. Over the years, this business has grown with demand from various Bajaj and KTM models. In January, we have begun supplies to TVS for the inverted front fork requirement. We have orders from Hero Motor Corp and a leading Chinese OEM, which SOPs will start in this financial year. The KTM export offtake has been lower than the earlier years. Now, with Bajaj in full control over the global KTM operations, we expect demand to increase in the next quarters. Our aluminium forging products are used as components, namely axle clamps for inverted front forks. They are also offered to third-party two-wheeler and four-wheeler OEM clients. Our supplies to Jaguar Land Rover are expected to begin in January 2026. We now have orders also from Royal Enfield and Hero Motor Corp, and multiple RFQs are being addressed from Indian and international OEMs. This is a huge focus area of growth for us. Increased demand would require setting up of more aluminium forging presses. We have ordered our fifth press now, which we would install next year in a new aluminium forging plant at Waluj. Our existing aluminium forging setup will also be moved to this new plant where the civil work is on. We have begun SOP in May 25 for the first Hero Motor Corp clutch, which peak requirement will reach 100K clutch assemblies per month, which we hope to do in quarter four of this financial year. In September next month, we will begin SOP also for the first assistance slip APTC clutches to Royal Enfield and Bajaj Auto. This introduces our Italian company Adler's technology to the Indian market for the first time. We are also setting up a new R&D facility for ABS and two- and four-wheeler brakes at our second brakes plant at Waluj. This will have advanced test rigs focusing on higher-end two-wheeler brakes, ABS testing, including electronic tests, as well as four-wheeler brake tests. We have also secured our first order for the four-wheeler drum brakes from Tata Motors. This is the start of a journey where we would require and deploy technology for advanced four-wheeler braking systems. Our aluminium casting plant at Vallam has won the Best Supplier Award for Excellence in Delivery from Aether Energy for the first-time right products and quick ramp-up. This is another testimony to our unwavering commitment to high levels of achievement in QCDDM. I had mentioned to you about our first order in the four-wheeler passenger vehicle drive shaft. We have begun on-vehicle testing at our captive proving ground in Chhatrapati Sambhaji Nagar. Our testing facilities cater not only to our current needs, but also act as a pathway to reach our aspirations in new product segments. As informed in the previous call, we completed the acquisition of the 60% stake in the Stefele entities in Germany in the beginning of quarter one. Stefele has an annual turnover of approximately 80 million euro. From April 2025, Stefele financials are consolidated in the Endurance Group financials. We had announced that under the Maharashtra PSI 2019 scheme, we received an eligibility certificate of Rs. 606 crores for capex incurred till September 2025. Under this 2019 scheme, we would apply now for additional eligibility for capex up to financial year 2026. Based on Rs. 606 crores, we have recorded a PSI incentive of Rs. 32.91 crores in quarter one of this financial year. You will recall that we have booked almost all amounts under the Rs. 446 crores under the PSI scheme of 2013 and have collected cash to the tune of Rs. 329 crores. Let me now give you a gist of orders won during quarter one of FY26. Please note that the business value from new orders are without including orders from Bajaj Auto. Overall order booking in quarter 1 FY26 in India business was rupees 252 crores, of which rupees 247 crores is new business. This is excluding the rupees 300 crores per annum business which we have won for battery packs. Key OEM customers in the list of quarter 1 FY26 orders are two-wheeler OEMs such as Royal Enfield, TVS and Mahindra. And our first four-wheeler foundation brakes business won from Tata Motors, which opens the door to a new vertical. We have won a total of rupees 3,225 crores worth of RFQs in hand. Cumulative India business orders for EV segment till date stands at rupees 864 crores. And with Bajaj Auto, this figure is now at rupees 1,017 crores per annum. Total orders won since FY21 is rupees 4,950 crores. Which rupees 3,986 crores is new business. Out of the rupees 3,986 crores new business, close to rupees 1,400 crores saw SOP in FY25. A further rupees 1,150 crores is expected in this year, FY26. The rest of the business will be realized in FY27 and FY28. In our Europe business, we have booked orders worth 2 million euro during quarter one. These are electric vehicle component orders for our specialities plastics unit in Turin. In continuation of the strategic aftermarket plan started with a global consultancy firm, on-ground activations have begun across the top 100 high-potential districts in India. We also began test marketing new product ranges with a focused go-to-market approach. For exports, detailed market studies were conducted to have a robust product and channel strategy for high potential countries. In addition, we have introduced front fork pipes in Indonesia and Brazil, catering to both Indian and non-Indian two-wheeler platforms to further expand our range in these key markets. Coming to our financial performance, the information has been uploaded at the stock exchanges last evening along with our presentation explaining the numbers. I will, however, highlight some key numbers. During quarter 1 FY26, the company recorded a standalone total income of rupees 2,351 crores, a year-on-year growth of 10.1%. This growth comes majorly from content addition as the industry volumes were tepid in this quarter. The major content addition comes in new business, especially in brakes and suspension segments with OEMs such as TVS, Royal Enfield, Honda, which is HMSI, Suzuki and Hero Motorpower. A significant portion of the growth in the total income is also from price corrections to compensate increase in commodity prices. Unfortunately, the commodity inflation based total income increase had a negative impact on our percentage margins, which is evident in the 0.5% drop in the EBITDA margins. Further, this is a period where we are investing in our future, and along with the lands, factories and assets, we are also hiring the talent required to further our multi-prolonged business growth plans. The people cost increase reflects our talent acquisition, which is a strong positive for us to consolidate our growth plans in the future. Further, quarter 1 FY26 had its own seasonal and mixed factors. Therefore, the standalone profit after tax is rupees 166 crores or 7.1% against rupees 163 crores or 7.6% in quarter 1 FY25, which is a 3 crore increase in profit after tax. Europe top line increase in euros is 28.5%. With the car market in Europe being 20% below the pre-COVID size, we have achieved higher sales through the acquisition of Stéphalet. Even without Stéphalet, our European product sales had a year-on-year growth in spite of a decline in new car sales. The European profit after tax is at rupees 62 crores, which grew 42% over quarter 1 FY21 profit after tax of rupees 44 crores, with margins slightly improving. In quarter 1 FY26, our consolidated total income grew 17.3% over quarter 1 of last year, from rupees 2,859 crores to rupees 3,355 crores. The EBITDA grew 17.5% from rupees 408 crores to rupees 480 crores, and the margins was maintained same at last year's level of 14.3%. The profit after tax grew 11% to rupees 226 crores at 6.7%. I would like to also mention specifically that our consolidated earnings per share have more than doubled from IPO year FY17 to FY25, that is from rupees 23.48 per share to rupees 59.46 per share. A high performing inclusive culture remains core to our success. We have deepened our focus on inclusion, capability building, and employee experience through sensitization programs, upgraded HR policies, and infrastructure enhancements. Flagship skill and capability programs like Saksham for the white-collar people and Unnati for the blue-collar employees are helping nurture talent across levels while also grooming high-potential employees for future leadership roles. On the sustainability front, we made significant progress this year onwards towards our ambitious goals of FY30. We achieved a 45% carbon neutral percentage. We lowered specific electrical and thermal energy as well as specific water consumption, while water recycling and hazardous waste recycling stands at 96% each. We also enhanced our renewable power share from 23% in FY24 to 25% in FY25. We have now increased this share to 31% in quarter 1 FY26 through expanded rooftop solar and wind power agreements. We contributed 300,000 KL of water through water augmentation projects. CSR is a strategic priority for Endurance, rooted in our belief that real impact comes from reducing inequity, which means one community, one child, one individual at a time. And this will help in every community we transform, every child we inspire, and every individual we empower. I'm happy to inform you that our CSR Arm Saver Trust has transformed 55 schools with solar energy and hygiene-focused facilities, enhancing attendance and outcomes while training over 900 adolescent girls in health and skills. With sustainable agriculture training, our Farmers Empowerment Program has benefited over 4,000 people. And ECO, which is a vocational training center in Chhatrapati Sambhaji Nagar, has imparted training to over 2,000 youth, securing over 85% employment. Our health work has reached 42 villages, serving 17,000 people, and we have built 2,300 toilets to improve sanitation. Our wet van program too has been successful, providing treatment to 40,000 animals in 47 villages. I'm happy to tell you that in quarter one, three of our plants have received the National Award for Manufacturing Competitiveness and awards from Integration from International Research Institute for Manufacturing. With these opening remarks, I would now like to invite questions from all of you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Aditya Jawar from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. My first question is on the PV brakes business. It's a very encouraging start. If you can just, you know, let us know that what could be, you know, the SOP and, you know, broadly the order size. And one pertinent question here is that based on this breakthrough, do you think that we could get, you know, access to other OEMs, or do we still need a tech tie-up, you know, on this? That's the first question.
Yes. So, yeah. Of course, it's very heartening to note because you need a first break, you know, to start the business. Right now, the drum brake assembly business on a per annum basis, I think the value is, a small value, is about 25 crores and per annum. And this will start end of quarter four is the plan as of now. And as far as the collaboration is concerned, Ultimately, our aim is to go into advanced, systems of braking, like the ESP, for example, which is required for four-wheelers. We have a collaboration with Beijing West Industries, as you know, for two-wheeler ABSs. And we are totally involved with them to try and introduce this. Of course, this will take some time because there's a long lead time for the four-wheeler, advanced braking systems. But we are totally focused to try and get and increase these orders in the four-wheeler space.
Thank you for that. Second question is on our ABS opportunity. So clearly this regulation change has come, in our favor. If you can help us understand that, what could be the opportunity size in, ABS and plus the disc brake, and how is your discussion progressing with OEMs on this? Do you think that there could be some postponement of the timeline? And when you look at a slightly, few quarters or say by end of next year, do you think that India would have enough capacity to support the ABS requirement for the two-wheeler industry?
Yes, yes. See, we are today engaged with most OEMs because there are not many players. You have Bosch, Continental, Nissan, and it is us. We are the only Indian company doing ABS. And as I mentioned, what we feel is that at least 16 million, and in case not more, at least 16 million two-wheelers will need, ABS. Of course, as per the draft, draft which we have seen from the Ministry of Road Transport and Highways, they are talking about January. But if I look at our past experience, which has happened, normally the delay could be 3 to 6 months. But of course, we don't know what will happen. We expect that we get some clarification by next month is what I'm told. So let's hope that happens. But definitely, I think this is here to stay. It could be 3 to 6 months of delay is what we feel based on past experience when such drafts have come in the past. But we'll have to wait and watch that. As far as Endurance is concerned, of course, our capacity was 640,000. We are expecting a tenfold growth for sure. So the commitments which we have already got from certain customers, we are immediately going ahead with two lines, which will add another 2.4 million. These lines should be ready by March 2026. And as we engage and as we get commitments, we will keep adding more lines. But for us, this opportunity is definitely 10 times. And I also expect the two-wheeler industry to grow because as per figures which they say of FY30, even if we take a small growth, I think we should reach 29-30 million vehicles by FY30. So today we are talking about a figure of 16 million on a 22 million sales, which we expect in both in India as well as in exports. But this industry will also grow. And so at present, we feel it's a tenfold, this thing opportunity for us to go to at least first 6.4 million. And then looking at technology and pricing, we'll do our best to try and, increase this in future. So this is, of course, for Endurance. No, it's a real game changer.
Yeah, that's good to know. My final question is on CAPEX. If you can, help us understand that, how should we think about CAPEX for FY26? In the presentation, you have included for the quarterly CAPEX, but for a full year basis, how should we think about that number? And directionally, if you can give us a sense that what could be the CAPEX in 27 and 28 as compared to the last couple of years?
Yes, so, the CAPEX has been growing every year, if you see our past track record. And we have been growing. You are seeing in turbulent times, which I mentioned in my opening remarks, we have been growing, both in India as well as in Europe. Europe also with, acquisitions. And also these, acquisitions make a lot of money for us. And so if you see quarter one in India, we have spent 286 crores. And as you know, there are three projects which I already mentioned. The big ones are the Auric Shedra starting in quarter four. There's a slight postponement to that. And then you have the Auric Bitkin, which is starting in week four of this month. And also we have the battery pack plant, which is starting in January 26. And of course, we have our existing business, expansion, which is going on. So I see, looking at the capacities which we need to sweat also, the CAPEX crossing 800 crores in this year. In FY20, 8 or I would say FY27, definitely this figure, of course, very, very difficult to say. But the question is, we believe in sweating our assets. That's why you see operational efficiency is quite good, you know, since the beginning. So we only spend when there is a requirement to spend. But as we look at inorganic growth opportunities also, both in India and Europe, and which is actively going on as we speak, you know. So I don't see this figure, to be honest, as of now going down FY27. And of course, we at Endurance will take all opportunities. You know, we have now aluminium castings, the Aurex Chandra, which is a very good margin export, you know, plant, mainly starting with EVs to start with. It's a huge opportunity, if you ask me. You know, alloy wheels is a large sales business plant. Aluminium forgings, which is a new product segment which is coming up. We started as a backward integration. That is starting. Battery pack in the new energy space is a good, you know, this thing opportunity for the future. And of course, I would say, like I've always mentioned, and I mentioned earlier in my opening remarks, we don't supply all our products to all the OEMs. I just mentioned suspension and brakes in quarter one. We have really increased business for brakes and suspension in Suzuki. There were no scooter front fork last year. Now we are doing 60,000 a month from April to June. As far as Hero Motor Corp is concerned, it was 5,000 brakes a month. Today we have gone to 30 to 35,000 brakes a month. You know, TVS, we were doing 75,000 brakes a month. Now it's 100,000 brakes a month. Royal Enfield brake discs per month have increased from 50,000 to 100,000. You know, so there's a lot happening. And as we increase new customers to all our product segments, that will be the biggest growth driver. It's not just the industry volumes. So we are very excited because of our strengths in process product technology, as well as our ability, the trust we have created with the OEM clients of 2 and 3 wheelers, now starting on a new 4 wheeler journey. And as I also mentioned in my this thing, that today we have end of last month started solar suspension. It's called a solar tracking system. We have a 200 crores order from a Spanish OEM, a Spanish client, not OEM, Spanish client. It's 200 crores per annum, which will reach peak next year. And now we are talking to somebody else. I mean, there's a huge business opportunity for profitable growth in the non-auto also. We're looking at non-auto inorganic growth also. So, when you talk about capex, there would be capex, high capex now for the ABS. So I've said more than 800 crores, but it could go higher. So we'll see, you know, what really happens, because ABS is also there, which is plus with ABS, I forgot to tell you, there are new brake systems which are coming in. So because ABS requires a brake system and not a drum brake, so, and if it's above 50cc, so all the drum brakes will convert to ABS. Now that requires a disc brake assembly system, you know. So whatever orders and business nominations we are getting since its announcement, even the brake system orders are increasing. And that's why I mentioned that in Chennai, we are planning to put up a brakes plant. And because we can't handle it in these existing 2 plants. So I would say there's a lot happening on the growth front at Endurance. And we are really, really excited about that.
Just one clarification. If you have to summarize what you have just said, that in terms of numbers, last year, you know, overall we spent, you know, about what, a little over 1,000 crore, including Europe business in terms of capex. This year, we are talking about India capex of north of 800 crores, and Europe capex, you know, should be, you know, assume about a 550 crore number, or is there an update on that? So, and what could be the total capex in terms of absolute number?
I would
request
Massimo, because there's a lot of money which has gone into Stöferle acquisition and which will go in the next 5 years, like we said. We're exploring new acquisition there. Okay. So I would request Massimo to answer this question. Massimo, could you answer this capex question?
Yes. So in the first quarter of this financial year, we spent 9 million of euro in terms of capex for the new project with the Stellantis, Mercedes, basically, and also Volkswagen. For sure, in this financial year, the effort in terms of capex will be lower compared to the previous year, where we spent 50 million of euro, due to the fact that in this moment the market is waiting an official position about the European government for the new rules of Green Deal, and everybody are stopping the investment. And this is positive from our side as in Unas, because we can use this the cash profit of the company for extraordinary operation in organic growth that we are evaluating after the acquisition of Selfridges. The European market, as you know, is consolidating the business, and we are part of this consolidation from a point of view on the right side, from the part of the customer, and so we will see. But for sure, the impact of the CapEx for this financial year will be 50% compared to the previous year, a maximum of 20 million euro, 25 million euro.
Yeah, thanks, Massimo. I'll fall back in queue. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Pramod from Increase Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So first, I wanted a clarification on this Europe sales. So if you have to look at the Stoffrel, can you give a similar breakup in terms of EBITDA where it stands now? Because you have given a breakup of sales addition. How much they brought to EBITDA?
Absolutely, yes. So we closed this quarter with 103.2 million of euro of turnover compared 80.3 of the previous financial year. So we grew 28.5%, of which Stoffrel 22 million of euro. As Mr. Jain told you before, also without the acquisition of Stoffrel, the European company grew more or less 1%. EBITDA, we closed with 18 million of euro. It means 17.4%. Compare 13.3 million of euro of the previous financial year, 16.5%. And so we grew in terms of EBITDA, 4.7 million of euro, 35.1% compared to the previous year. In terms of net result, we closed with 6.4 million of euro, it means 6.2%. Compare 4.9 million of euro of the previous financial year, 6.1%, with an increase in terms of net result of 1.5 million of euro, it means 31.3% compared to the previous year.
आपला कॉल होल्डवर ठेवण्यात आला आहे कृपया लाईनवरच रहा अथवा थोड्या वेळाने कॉल करा
सॉरी देयर इज सम डिस्टर्बन्स ऑन द लाइन
या द सेकंड म्यूट द अदर
Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, sorry. The second question is with regard to the APS side. Wanted to know, based on your experience on R&D over the last 4 years, what's the ideal timeline you would require to do R&D for this 100cc and come up with a product, one? And second, what cost efficiencies or the product improvements can be brought in? Because these guys will look for a more economical solution. Would you feel you can be a better position to give much better solution than the MNC players, and how?
See, I think cost is a very big strength for us because we have our own R&D. And as I've always said, it's not the performance and durability we do on R&D, we do a lot of value engineering. And I've been saying over the past, ABS, stainless steel braid hoses, which used to be imported, valves which were imported, are being done in-house today. The electronic control units, which I've been mentioning, will be started from next quarter in-house, you know. So these are all ways how you lower the cost. Plus, definitely when the volumes go up, your fixed costs are spread. That also brings down the cost. And I can only say that we are very strong as far as the, you know, cost controls are concerned. So that's why we feel very confident already. Based on confirmations we have got, we've already started the work. We are not waiting, to be honest, for the final, because final, this thing to come, the note to come from the Ministry of Highways and Road Transport. So we are going ahead because we want to be ready with the capacity, which I said should be by March 2026. But that's the time it takes. But there are some long lead machineries in that. So we are going ahead, and we'll be very fast on the capex. But that's the time it takes to set it up, because I don't think that capacity is there in India right now.
And you also supply CBS. So incrementally, it will be a CBS vanishing and ABS coming for you, right? If I'm understand right.
So it is not only ABS growth, and it took us a day to realize that is also a CBS growth, because ABS needs CBS and not a drum brake. You know, because it is above 50cc now. It's 50cc and above.
Right.
So, for example, if scooters had drum brakes, now right, they'll have a ABS with a disc brake.
Right. But you will lose out on the CBS, right, sir, if I'm able to understand it, and then gain on the ABS front?
No, no. In fact, there are many vehicles, like I mentioned, scooters, which are largely, it's a drum brake in the front. So
okay.
Now when you have an ABS, ABS requires a disc brake assembly.
Right.
First, it's in a caliper and disc. It doesn't need a drum brake. So that becomes an added volume. And
okay.
The reason for this new Chennai plant is those volumes are also going up.
Sure.
So based on that, we immediately have started this thing. You know, we are just planning to start the work there.
Sure. And considering your experience with the higher CC, would you still be looking at giving a full system, or you would also be open for just supplying disc brakes and capture a value with the customer? How are you trying to approach this?
See, we are a complete solution provider
for right.
endurance. We give the whole system. But what happens is some customers have a step-by-step approach.
Right.
So like I said, we first start with the brake disc. And then they get into the brake system. So that is normally what also happens sometimes. That's been our journey of last 20 years. First, some were directly the system, some were brake disc, and then the system, you know.
Okay, okay. And if you had to look at the current market size and the market share, how it has traveled for you, would you give some color? What's the size of the market in terms of value?
See, value, I will not give you, but... the value I can leaving the value apart, I just mentioned that we are gauging the market to be 16 million out of 22 million. Now maybe that's a conservative figure, I don't know. Okay, so that is a volume.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen some analyst reports talking about 2500, 2750, you know, as the price. Now you can gauge what the price would be.
Okay, sure. And where is your market share currently, sir? And where you expect to be post this 100cc?
See, right now, because we were doing single channel on a 640,000, we were at a run rate of 400,000, you know, which I mentioned earlier.
Right, right.
Now, with this happening, I mean, I've already said 640 plus 2.4 is confirmed. That's why we are placing the orders. Now, rest, we are in talks. I'm again going next week to meet a major customer. So all this is in process. But they're also just waiting that finally, will it be January, will it be April, will it be July, it will be, you know, when. But some people don't want to wait. So they've already started giving commitments, you know. So that's where it stands. But we have gone this thing. I mean, we are going ahead.
Okay. Sir, is it fair to say you have a single-digit market share now and which can be substantially moving up? Is that the fair understanding to have?
See, right now, not single, it would be, I think it should be about, I mean, the market size I thought was 3 million. I've been saying, and we are doing 400,000, so it would be about 13 to 15%, I think.
Okay, sure.
No,
and there you.
No, sorry. No, this right now is 13 to 15, but we should now, with this higher volume, our target is at least 25%.
Okay, sure, sir. Thanks and all the best.
25% of the higher number.
Yeah, got it. So you are ambitious to ramp up. And how do you, the last one is with regard to R&D capability. Even though you have been seeding this with the R&D capability in the ABS front, how is it prepared to handle this rush of customers? And how are you better placed on R&D and test track versus the others? If you can quote them.
Yeah, see, I don't like to comment about others. I would like to talk about ourselves. We are fully ready.
Okay.
I can only say that.
Okay, sure. And how does it compare versus when you started in ABS? Is that substantial improvement in capability on R&D side?
Yes, absolutely. A lot of learnings.
Okay.
Because you learn a lot from customers, your experience.
Okay.
Lowering costs, improving efficiencies.
Then
the main thing is on the software part, the calibration of software.
Okay.
Right now, we used to depend a lot on our collaborator, Beijing West Industries. Now, with the test riders and our internal team, we are able to do it ourselves. And
okay.
that's, I would say, one of the biggest learnings, and also the speed and the cost comes down.
Okay. And I hope that should also substantially reduce your development time.
Yes, absolutely.
Sure. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Arvind Sharma from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning, sir. Thank you for taking my question. Sir, first question would be on the ABS part. So just to confirm, your current capacity is 640,000. And
yes.
On top of it, you plan to add another 2.4 million. Is that right? Understand,
yes.
Sir?
Yes. Yes,
okay,
absolutely.
Great, sir. And any timeline for the 2.4 million, sir?
Yes, I said March 26, we'll be ready.
Okay, so... Okay,
March 26,
great.
We'll be ready in March 26.
Got it, sir. So March 23, you'll have a total capacity of almost 3 million units.
Yes, yes, yes.
Got it. And sir, this the Chennai facility that you talked about, that is also for ABS, I believe?
No, no. That is for, like I clarified in my opening, is disc brake assembly system, which is master cylinder, caliper, brake disc, and brake hose.
Got it, sir. And there's one small clarification in the presentation when you give the number for disc brake, that includes your ABS, I believe.
Which number did I give?
So in the presentation, there's this 15.5% contribution which is given by disc brake.
So see,
yeah.
That
talking
is
about
ABS.
That, what you've uploaded. A quarterly presentation.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
That is total braking, right?
Yes. That is total braking. Includes ABS, that 100,000 per annum we are doing.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much for
reason why we not got to 640 is because of the dual channel, which is now starting, like I mentioned, from next
right.
month. You know, so
got
that's
it.
The reason that 240 is available.
Mm. Got it. The second question would be on Europe. First of all, sorry, I did not get the exact Staffele contribution this quarter. If you could repeat that, sir, in revenue and EBITDA.
Massimo, can you clarify that?
So we close with the 103 million of euro turnover compared 80.3 of the previous financial year, and so it means 22.9 million of euro of increase in terms of turnover, of which 22 million of euro is Staffele. And speaking about EBITDA, 18 million of euro was the actual of this financial this first quarter, compared 13.3 million of the previous financial year, and so it means 4.7 million of euro difference, of which 4.5 million of euro Staffele. And so it means that also without Staffele, the profitability of the company and also the turnover grew compared to the previous financial year. 0.6% in terms of turnover and 0.2% in terms of percentage in the EBITDA.
Got it. Thank you so much. And just one last question, if I may ask. In the European ramp-up schedule that you gave in the presentation, there's been a very slight slowdown, especially in FY26. Is that a reflection of the broader industry environment?
Absolutely, yes. In this moment, it's very difficult to predict the next 18 months, as you can imagine. I can tell you only one thing. In the first quarter of this financial year, the European market reached 25% of share in the electrical vehicle, BEV and also plug-in. And this is an important signal. So we are waiting the official position of the government for the incentive. Have you seen that Spain is the only market that is growing double digit compared to the previous year only because there are incentives in the automotive? Everybody in Germany, in France, in Italy are waiting for this incentive. And this could be a boost for the future growth the next 18 months.
Got it. And just one final clarification. I know I'm slightly overstepping the time given, but the current revenue and EBITDA by Staffele is only for the 60% stake. The remaining 40% is yet to come.
No, 100%. We are consolidating 100% of the results, because, and we are consolidating also for the Indian gap, the residual payment of 40% in our financial debt. These are the rules, and so we are considering also the potential 27 million of euro that we will pay in the next 5 years due to the multiplicator of the EBITDA for the future 5 years. And so in our figures, you will see 100% of the result and also 100% of the debt due to the acquisition.
Oh, got it. Thanks for the clarification. That's all from my side. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Shagun Veja from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Please go ahead with your question. You're audible.
Yes, I wanted to check. So since the acquisition for Stefele is 60%, there will be some minority interest. So I want to check which line item is it reported in the consolidated financials. That's my first question. Next is, what is the opportunity size for disc brakes and pads with the new norms? And what are the plans to expand market share with the new customers in ABS? Also, the capex in terms of disc brakes and pads, and the market penetration for disc brakes currently.
Okay, for the first answer, I repeat, there are no minority interest in the acquisition of Stefele. We are consolidating 100% of the result and also 100% of the asset and the relative debt.
Okay, got it.
Okay, so your question was that on the, I mean, ABS, right?
Right.
So see, okay, now I'll put it like this. At present, in two-wheelers, Endurance has 43% market share in the braking system. It's mainly master cylinder and caliper. When you come to only brake disc, I think it's over 60%. Now, what is happening is ABS right now, our capacity is 640,000. As we are only doing single channel, it's 400,000 is what we are doing per annum. Okay? 240,000 we'll realize mainly from the next quarter when we start the dual channel ABS. So we'll try and use up our 640,000 then. I also mentioned that the total market on 22 million should be at least 16 million on a conservative basis for the use of ABS. And it talks about above 50cc, all vehicles, including scooters. Now, in the 16 million, we, as you know, Endurance, we have started with right now another 2.4 million, which we want to reach by March 26. And of course, I mean, our target, I said, as the 16 million is there and as it grows, we start with a 25% SOB is where we want to reach first. You know, that is what I said. And we'll go step by step from there, you know.
Okay, thank you.
So, Bill?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The next follow-up question comes from the line of Aditya Jawar from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks for the follow. Under one of the comments you mentioned about this Chinese, you know, OEM. So is it included in the 300 crore order, you know, that we talked about in the presentation?
Please continue.
The question is,
the 300 crores per annum is for the battery pack, which is for an Indian two-wheeler OEM, which I mentioned in my opening remark. That is for battery pack. What I talked about the Chinese, the leading Chinese OEM, is for supply of inverted front forks and rear monoshocks, which will start in this financial year, most probably quarter three or quarter four. We'll see how that goes. So that was more of our growth other than Bajaj and KTM. Like I said, TVS we have started, Hero Motor Coffee is starting, we're talking to almost everybody, and we have got this order from these Chinese. It is a leader in, it is one of the top companies for making bikes, and so that is inverted front and rear monoshocks, the Chinese company.
Okay. So I was referring to this, order of 300 crore for e-4-wheeler application. Fair enough, that was a good clarification. So you would be supplying in which market, Anurag, this the Chinese OEM?
No, so this will be exported to China.
China, okay. Perfect. That's quite helpful.
Are you talking about the Auric Shendra plant to global OEMs?
So there are two separate questions. One is this Auric Shendra, that's about the 300 crore order for e-4-wheeler application.
It's a coincidence. So that 300 crores that 300 crores is for two global OEMs in US and Europe. Okay.
Okay. Okay. So you'll be, okay, fair enough.
Okay. As far as the, okay, which was the second question?
No, I think that's quite helpful. So this is a separate, 300 crore order and this Chinese, order. So if you can give some order size of this Chinese customer.
Chinese, okay, as of now, I don't have it, but it is quite a decent value. But I can get back to you on this.
Sure.
The Chinese
that's it for me.
Order.
Yeah.
But it will be more peak in FY27 as we are starting only in next quarter end,
Perfect. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Mr. Nishit Jalan from Axis Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Sir, my question is, you are talking about that at least the size of ABS will be 16 million units. Now, if ABS is getting mandatory on every product higher than 50 cc, then will it not be applicable in entire 22 million units? Is it something we are missing here?
Let us hope so, but I've just taken mopeds are there also there, in that figure. Well, we have just taken a conservative figure of 16, to be honest.
Okay.
I mean, by that logic, you're right. It should be in all. But we are just looking at 16 right now. Because, see, till we get the final draft.
Exports may not have.
No. In fact, one important point, which has just struck me. See, a lot of these two-wheeler OEMs are exporting to Africa, South America. So their ABS may not be mandatory, So, well, it just struck me that that we have adjusted.
No, but the domestic market size itself will be like 20 million unit plus, excluding the exports.
See, the exports, you're right. I mean, but exports would be at least 3 million. I have to get the numbers. Would be at least 3 million. Okay. So your figure on 22 could be 19. I'm saying, we are saying 16. Okay. So it's a 3 million difference. But we'll see how that goes. But exports will not have it. Because major exports are South America, Africa, Southeast Asia, and they don't have these ABS rules.
Correct. One last question on Europe, right? The Stoffel acquisition that we have done, this company seems to be very, very profitable, right? 4.5 million euro EBITDA on a 22 million euro top line. So just wanted to understand what actually happened. How did we get to do this M&A? It was not a struggling company, right? So why were they looking to sell, and what drove this M&A? And what was the total amount? Sorry, I missed a call. What is the total amount that we have paid to acquire 60% stake in this company?
Massimo?
Okay, so the first answer is that we spent 37.7 million of euro to buy 60% of share. Speaking about the second, statement regarding the profitability of the company, for sure I guarantee that the profitability of the company is very high. For us was a strategic acquisition basically for the consolidation of one customer, that is Mercedes. And you have to consider that this is a company with only machining. And so as you can imagine, the EBITDA is, you can't compare the EBITDA of a company to only machining with a company that is also foundry component. And so the profitability of the company is 20%. 18.7%, will continue to grow from my point of view in the next future year due to the fact that now we are doing important synergy between Endurance Overseas and Stoffel. Due to the fact that Stoffel bought in the past 100% of the Europarts to the market, now we can produce this Europart for them. And so it means that we can add in our added value, in our EBITDA, also the added value of the foundry process. This was the strategy of the acquisition of the company. And so, from my point of view, only to give you an idea, as you know, 2 years ago, we acquired an important business with BMW for 5 million of euro of turnover for a new transmission, 100% electric. Stoffel, we produced the machining of this component because we understood that they had the production capacity available and we can move from Endurance JNDH to self-funded this project, did it mean that we can save in our balance sheet more or less 3.5 million of euro fixed assets? These are the economy of scale that we are trying to do and that we did in the past in the acquisition when you are obliged to grow in terms of inorganic growth in a market that is not growing in terms of volume. So this is the only possibility to save and to survive and to increase and maintain our profitability.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And I would also like to add, Massimo, I just like to add that even there's a machine building capability which we have acquired by, you know, acquiring Stefferle.
Yes. Sure, sure. As you know, Stefferle produce the machine. And so in terms of saving for the future CapEx, it will be an important asset for Endurance because usually we are obliged to reinvest from greenfield when we start with a new business with our customer. With Stefferle, we can also learn and we can make experience also reusing the existing production capacity to the market. You can imagine what does it mean to move, to transform the existing production capacity of the internal combustion engine for the future project of electric. If we be able to do this, we can save important amount in our fixed assets.
Okay, thank you so much. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take that as the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Well, I would just like to close this by saying that we are really focused on profitable growth. There are a lot of opportunities now. And our focus will be how we can give high technology products at affordable prices so that we can increase the range and the volumes of our products, which were earlier meant for 250, 400 cc and bring them down to a 125 cc. So that will be a focus, how to gain business by even value engineering and giving more and more features to our customers, which we have done for the last 25 years. So that's what I would like to say. Thank you.
Thank you, members of the management team. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Axis Capital Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and even now, disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.